Hello again, my Coins Plus True Wealth listeners. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, as always. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We deal in it all. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins and precious metals and scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. I obviously like, maybe not obviously unless you know me, I love high-grade Rolex watches, modern, good stuff. I'm not into, you know, vintage stuff that looks like it got run over by a tractor, but it's still worth $5,000. Not me thing. I like what I wear, and that's about that. So everything that's going on right now, folks, you should probably be getting yourself secured in metal. It's far less complicated than you'd think. I will, you know, we'll do everything we can to help you out and do our best. We believe we know what we're doing. We think we're pretty fair. No, we are. We're super fair. We're honest. We have high integrity. We're running high octane right now. Patience is a virtue. It is actually maybe a virtue, as those things mentioned in the fruits of the spirit. Which means if you're living in the spirit and you're walking with God, you will manifest these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Interesting, it says in the Bible, against such things there is no law. It does cover prior to that the deeds of the flesh, which are many, it says. Can you think? I mean, many deeds of the flesh, folks. I mean, we're fleshly beings, and I've been reading 1 John, and there's the whole thing about the lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. It's really interesting or important that you go to the Greek and Hebrew when you're reading. I've had people come to me and go, you know, listening to some speaker I don't know, but trying to tell me how someone's name rhymes with a certain part of a verse or a word in the Bible. Just weird stuff like that. Like it has some meaning, you know. It's like they go down a path of linear thought trying to predict what's coming, and they run out, and then they come up with weird little jingles and say this, you know, sounds like that and all that. I won't get into it because I don't want to give it any credence. I've heard it about two or three times. But the thing is it's English. It's English. Our language was not formed when either part of the Bible was written. So we've translated into English. I think I covered on a recent show the number of roots. It's like root words or root word roots. How's that for, yeah, right, Kevin? Let me check something. I'll do something for you here, and I'm going to be a minute here. Okay, so here we go. The Greek language is ranked as the richest in the world with 5 million words and 70 million word types, okay? So I'm going to go English. What? This will blow your mind. Words and types. And I have to be a dorm-door. Okay. English. Let's see if they have this. Okay. I got another way to look here. Okay. This is going to give me. So, listen to this. I want you to understand this. It says, so the words that they're counting in English, A1, they count that as a word, all the way to ZYZZYVA, Zziva. Okay, these are words you don't even know probably. Nor do I, so don't worry about it. Now, think about this. They say there's 171,146 words currently in use in the English language. So let's just, can I say 171,000? How many words were there in the Greek? 5 million. Think about it. Think about it in money. $171,000. You can't even buy a house now that you're comfortable in without a non-fixer-upper, right? 5 million, palatial estate, wherever you want. Got it? English. Okay, so that's $171,000 versus 5 million, just for comprehension. 171,000 words versus 5 million. But we have 47,000 obsolete words. Now, the word type thing, I'm not an expert at. They say the average person uses about 20 to 30,000 words. Okay? The total number of word types is like 546 in English. In Greek, it's 70 million. I don't even know what that means. I think it means that the Greek language has a whole bunch of really cool combinations you can make eternally. It's kind of like music. You have 8 major notes and you've got flats and minors and all that. And you can make infinite music. The Greek language is obviously much like that. And just guess, when was the Bible written? At the peak of the Greek language. Moral of that story, folks, get out your Strongs. You can go online. I use the Blue Letter Bible. It's pretty good. It's not good on Apple devices or on iPhones, which is sad. But, you know, it works. A lot of people are using it, I think, or at least people I talk to. And you can go down. You can look something up. It's really a good way to study the Bible. Keep your Bible with you, though. It's really difficult for me, though, because you can't go back. I mean, you know, for years and years, your Bible gets marked up and you go, hey, I know the verse is right here. I just read it. You're not even sure where. Oh, yeah, right there. And then it reminds you of another one. You're going, I know it's back here. Yeah, right there. You know, can't do that on the computer. So the computer is a good way to study and research. But the Word of God is the most important. And it's really interesting that we are language beings, okay? Where am I going with this? I'll tell you here in a minute. This is totally not where I wanted to go. Imagine that. Have I ever done that? Let me get to there. Okay. So we're going to a book in the Bible called 1 John. Didn't intend to do this, but I'm on language now. I'm on studying the Word. Now listen to this. What was from the beginning? Now remember, 1 John, John's writing this. What's his purpose? His purpose is to tell you, well, here, I'll let him say it. What was from the beginning? What we have heard? What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. In other words, we looked at what we're touching. It's not like we didn't stick our hand in a box and go, that's Jesus. They're telling us, you know, concerning the Word of life. The Word of life. And in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what that word is? Logos. Logos. I mean, you know, think of the word logo or whatever. I mean, it's a word. It means a word. All these words in the Bible for word are the same word. How about that? And here's my point. We are language beings. I want you to think. Language is magnificent. Jesus Christ was the Word. So, and you think, okay, then I need to read the Word. No, the Word is the manifestation of the Word. Language is this magnificent creation of God, the Word. You think about it. You can do little scribbles on a page. They can educate you, teach you, feed you, give you information, make you laugh, make you cry. Just scribbles on a page. But wait, God is light, it says later in 1 John. You need light to see the Word. So you see the Word, it goes in your eyes. And even if people are blind, you've got Braille. You've still got the Word. Okay? So the light goes in your eyes. Somehow your brain translates it. Yeah, we educate it, but come on, and we're set up to do that. Or we speak it. Pop, pop, pop. We make noise in the air, and oh yeah, there's the Word. We can hear it. How is Jesus Christ, how is the saving message of Jesus passed along? Only through the Word. Verbally, visually, you know, obviously orally is verbally, but, you know, and however else, I don't know. But the Word is the Word is the Word. That's how you're going to learn about Jesus. Even, you know, I always think people get saved through either somebody speaking the Word or the written Word they read, but, or the combination of both, plus somebody who has to be involved. The person who is or, well, say is involved may have such terrific lifestyle evangelism that they don't need to say a lot, but they need to say enough to point somebody to the Word, to God, to Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, but Kevin, they don't have to go to the Word to get saved. No, but they do have to go to the Word to get saved. The Word of Life, as Jesus is called. They have to go to the Word to get saved. We're language beings. It's magnificent. So you have to not give that up. That is how we get washed and cleansed in the Word. If we study and read the Word, you can't study and read every single topic you need. But if you're in the Word, you will be washed and cleansed by the Word. There's countless scriptures to back that up. I could read you, but I won't right now. So you cannot abandon the Word. And that, my friends, is what's destroying this nation right now. That and the fact that I didn't silence the store phone. Should I pick it up? Nah, I'll let it go this time. Let me put that on quiet. They probably wouldn't have liked being on the air anyway. So anyway, you guys, the Word, right? Respect the Word. Honor the Word. Study the Word. Crave the Word. God had the Levites protect the Word and held them accountable if they did it. When the Dead Sea Scrolls came out, the oldest version of the book of Isaiah, which is an incredibly massive and complex book, the most massive and complex book in the Bible, argued by most scholars, the oldest copy we had was from 1546 A.D. Not that old, at least in terms of trees. Then the Dead Sea Scrolls produced a copy from rough, I think it was like 1500 B.C., and it was. Now you got a copy that's 3,000 years older of the most complicated and challenging scripture in the Bible, both for you and me and for scribes. Very in-depth, very complex and complicated. So, you know what's going to happen. 3,000 years they've been copying this thing. Copy, 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 copy. Rewrite, 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 rewrite. How many times was that thing rewritten before the oldest copy we have was made, before the Dead Sea Scrolls? Or whoever had it, I didn't, you might have, but not. Anyway, so you got 3,000 years of scribing, and you got all the branches and directions and all these things that happened before that oldest 1500 AD copy was made. So, you know, a million write-overs or whatever, I'm sure easy over 3,000 years. So how far was that off? I mean, it had to be crazy off. You know how far it was off? 6 points, okay? There were 6 differences in 3,000 years. Mostly, I think 4 were punctuation and 2 were grammatical. Period. How's that possible? That is so far from possible, folks. My background is math, and I've done crazy math. I've seen it. I think I comprehend it at a level most people don't, especially when you get into numbers and probabilities and things like that. What's reasonable and what's not reasonable? That, what I just described, without a direct miracle from God, can't happen. Can't happen. So the word has been preserved. The Dead Sea Scrolls were a confirmation for believers that the word that we possess is true. And it's grounded. And it was the Essene sect of the Levites that preserved it, the most strict sect. Jesus and John the Baptist came out of that sect, S-E-C-T. Not probably too big either. Very strict, very stringent. Interesting. Because you don't think of, I mean, if you think, Jesus was, he grew up as a devout Jew. We represent in many ways in plays in school and all that and at church and on TV. But he was a devout Jew. He knew who God was, but he had practiced everything that the Pharisees practiced and at the highest ascetic level. They knew it. That's why they never challenged him on any of those statements. Folks, think of it. They didn't challenge anything he said as far as its veracity. They absolutely took him at his word. He had respect because he'd been there, done that. You know what that's like? It's like one soldier talking to another soldier about war. That may sound extreme, but it is. I mean, though they've been there. When someone stands back, and you know, that's a good point. Here we go sideways a little bit. You know what just flashed through my mind? The speck in the log. What do I mean by that? You know the scripture? Why do you look at the speck in your neighbor's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How many of us get caught up in judgmentalism because we didn't go down that road? I really want to cover this. This is how all this rubbish is happening. I want to get to here. All this crud cake garbage that's going on with this Biden already signed, 41 executive orders, sweeping declarations. You know what they're saying, folks? You're going to be offended. I'm going to say a bad word. To hell with the Constitution. And you know, Trump was evil. Trump was bad. Trump was this. Trump was seriously looking out for the best wishes of all of us, folks. I hope you don't mind that statement. But, you know, no, he wasn't. He was mean and nasty. Yeah. You get your information from CNN and MSNBC and garbage trash like that, you are being led right down the trail to the singularistic destruction of this nation. Period. We're on the way. You know, and I want to get to that quick. So let's just pop back and we'll kind of wrap up on the word. So it says, the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we've seen and testify and proclaim to you. So he's telling you again. We saw it. We're telling you. We're proclaiming it. We'll proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us. You know, he goes back again. What we've seen and heard. It's important. He's trying to tell you. We've seen it, folks. It's not fake. This is real. This is a real deal. We proclaim to you also so that you too may have fellowship with us. I talked about this on the last show. Once you know the Word of God, once you know Christ, once the Word of life indwells you, you have real unity. You have Christian godly unity. Do you know we all desire that, I think? I mean, we have to, the majority of us, right? You want unity with people. You want harmony. Fruits of the Spirit, I've discussed. And the Bible says, as much as it's up to you, live in harmony with one another. We want to be harmonious. We want to be united, unified. When we're believers, that is the true unity. When we die and go to heaven, we're going to have a singular unity. Everything else will be taken care of. Something happens when we're on this earth to our spirit. It gets trained and developed. We have the parable of talents. That carries over to eternity, folks. Different people are going to have different levels of responsibility. There won't be jealousy and greed or any of that. But it's cool. There will be honor and dignity. People will be glad for those above them. And glad for those below them. It'll be, you know, but at the same time, the way you handle these things is ultimately carries over with an eternal effect on your spirit. I'm not an expert on that. The spirit's another conversation for another day I'd like to get into, but I can't right now. Okay? But the fellowship. Once you know Christ, you have fellowship universally. I don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese, English, Korean, doesn't matter. All of a sudden, you're unified, and it affects every area of your life. And then you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you can be filled with wisdom. And you've got to get the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit permission to help convict you of sin and help you change it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit convicts with love. It's a new concept, folks. It's a new day. The old has passed away. The new has come. What is that? 1 Corinthians 5:17. It's one of the first verses you memorize. I can't remember the rest of it. But the whole thing is we all become these new creations. And we unite. Holy. And that's why, you know, back to the Word of life. The Word of God. God is the Word. We need the Word in our lives, okay? Last thing I just see here in 1 John, I love it. God is light. Wow. This is the message we've heard from him, and we announce from you that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all, obviously. Now, there's a concept. There's no darkness. Where'd sin come from? Satan created it. What? God created Satan. Satan created sin. God created Satan. I've heard some goofy theories. There's thesis and antithesis, right? God creates good. Anything that falls from that is automatically creates evil. It's called a logic gate. It doesn't have to technically be created to exist because it is the opposition of a specific characteristic or whatever. Okay? So you get that? In God, there is no darkness. He'll never deceive you. He'll never hurt you. He'll never do anything that is against you. It's important to understand, though, you can turn your heart on him. He can harden your heart. But when he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he didn't put the bad stuff in, folks. He just shut the faucet off. Same with Saul. I mean, he just shut it off. He goes, enough's enough. The arrogance has gone too far. This guy has been bedecked with blessing from me and goodness and truth. And I've surrounded him with the wisest, you know, prophets and scribes and Pharisees, which at the time were a lot more relevant in a positive way. And he just won't listen. He didn't even remember who David was. When David came to him to attack Goliath after being his harpist, the only guy who could calm him down for, I think it was a couple years at least. I can't, that's what I believe I read. Could be wrong, but I mean, he didn't even recognize him. That's pomposity, folks. I learned a long time ago. Remembering people is a good thing to do. My thing is, I'm really into profiles. I spent years in banking. I like to know who people are, what they do, you know, what's their background, what's their desire. Then I remember you. People who memorize incredible things put stories with it. They'll have imaginary homes, and they'll go place different items around the home and give them colors and names, and then they can go back in there imaginarily and pull them back out. God is light. God is light. Light is huge. Light's amazing. Light can't be stopped. Darkness can never overtake the light. Light can overtake darkness. So ponder that one for a while. And if you walk in the light, let's do this. If we say, there's some good verses. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, not seeking the light, right? We lie and we're not practicing the truth. How's it start out? We say we have fellowship with him. Yeah, I'm cool. I know Jesus. I have quiet times. No, you don't. You don't want to be called that guy. I mean, turn your back on Christ, not a good thing. If we walk in the light, it says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Praise God. Go back. If we say we have fellowship with him, so it starts out about fellowship with him, and we walk in the darkness, we're liars. Then what's the next one? If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, and then it automatically assumes we got fellowship with him, because it's the opposite of the opposing verse, we have fellowship with one another. It adds this next component, which is super valuable. Loneliness, isolation. It is the number one cause of a form of insanity. That's why they supposedly cut back solitary confinement terms, lengths, sentences, whatever you want to call them, to 30 days. After, I think there's a movie on it, probably, I think, from a long time ago, but after, you know, horrid things. Locking people up like in a freaking little concrete box. You know, I can go through the details. Alcatraz was terrible. I mean, they had some of the most heinous abuse of prisoners imaginable. People lost it. They went insane. They fell apart. They went cuckoo. Their life. When man it just says, you're no good, you're worthless, you're not only are you crap, we're going to go, there's no hope ever. You're never, ever, ever going to have hope ever again. And then we won't give you anything to take your life. I mean, or we will give you something to take your life. I don't know. It just gets so cruel and rotten that we don't need to treat each other like that. But that is the devil's side of the world, folks. That's what he wants. He hates us. He hates all these things about us. He hates our ability to comprehend and communicate with language, as I discussed. We're language beings. Look what we're doing with language. Oh, let me go on Twitter. Let me go say stinky words in 160 characters or less, you know. Let me go on Facebook. By the way, folks, I don't care what you do. No matter if you're buried in Facebook, it's messing with your head. Why? How? When's the last time you posted, you know, I could say some bad things that you might have experienced physically, you know, or think about it. Your husband and wife, your wife has a problem with her area, or a guy has a problem. I mean, these are things you experience in life. A wife or husband goes through a cancer scare or a couple surgeries and a few years of chemo or, you know, a strained bad back and they need a surgery and or whatever it is and they're down and out. You don't see that. I mean, on Facebook, hey, Ron came out of his surgery fantastic. Everything's wonderful. But what you really see is us on top of Mount Everest, you know. We're smiling, planting flowers. Here we are at Glacier Park. Next picture. We're down in the Grand Tetons. Life is so wonderful, beautiful. Of course, we got our mask on. Got to put a big mask on wherever you go. You go to the top of Mount Everest, you better be wearing that mask. You might get corona. I can't believe the foolishness, folks. We're just getting slaughter hammered, okay? So now, I'm moving on. I'm running out of time. How about this one? This is important. Since I'm in 1 John, why not? Okay, we walked in the light. We said, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his side of the Christ, of course, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. I need that. I could use a really good bath. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And you're like, most of you are like, who would ever say we have no sin? I spoke to someone recently that is gone from the Christian realm to academic realm, intellectual. As I said, folks, you can't chase fallacies. There's one truth. You lead people back to the truth. You can't sit and refute every crazy notion that defies the truth. But one individual I've spoken to a little bit ago, I don't believe in the concept of sin. Of course, he said, you know, Jesus didn't exist, which means it's just he hasn't done appropriate research because he did. And that's when you read this, John was like, hey, I saw him, I touched him, or we saw him, touched him, felt him, heard him. All these books that were written at a time, you didn't write heresy. You'd have been strung up. There really was, for a very long time, journalistic integrity. We don't even comprehend, right? And then it gets down. So if we confess our sins, well, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful. That means he'll do what he says. You can rely on him. And righteous, which is the word for, in his case, pure and perfect and holy. There's a word righteous for us, which means right-minded towards God. He's righteous, pure, and holy to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's going on there? Two words to put in your vocabulary for healthy relationships and a healthy life. Repent and forgive. Repent and forgive. Just remember those two words. Apply them to everything you do. You'll be good. You got to learn how to repent with tact. There's times you got to say, hey, I'm sorry about that. But you can't be. You don't want to go into the, I'm so sorry, you know. Just, I mean, unless it's really, really bad. And if it is, then yeah. Your repentance should outweigh the effect of your sin. So, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. It says, the last verse says, if we say we have no sin, we haven't sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. He created us. He's seen us fall. He says we sin. He says we've all fallen short. We all sin. But this says, no, if you disagree with that, you're making him a liar. Probably not a good choice. Okay? So let now us move on and see what we can get. We're going to get a little bit into the politics now. It's kind of bothering me a tad. Oh, boy, I love this thing here, the old telly. I should be in England, and so I can use my telly. So, we got... You may not know what Biden's doing, folks, and, I mean, here we are, politics. Oh, here goes Kevin. Oh, boy, well, I'll tell you what. I have got... You know, I grew up in Montana. went to school in Bozeman, Montana, which is beautiful now, or what is beautiful was fantastic then. I spent all my time in the mountains, my free time. Not school. But I loved the mountains and mountain biking and hiking and walking and climbing, and my wife was doing good at that time. We had a great time. We were 60 miles from Yellowstone National Park, which is the, you know, the coldest location in the continental United States. It's been that way for a long time. Well, I think it's got all the records. So, but I've been in there a ton. I spent so much time in that park, I can't even describe. Even had some sweet camp spots where you were not allowed to camp down by the Firehole River, where there was the big pockets and the cliffs. My friend and I had some wonderful things. You had to walk through some water. The Firehole River is where the hot water that comes out of the earth pours into the river. Yellowstone National Park is mind-boggling. So here's my point. There is, underneath that place, it's the largest volcanic formation in the world, okay? When I was in college in the 80s, I had a geography professor and a topology professor tell us, Yellowstone could blow in the next 100 years, and when it does, it'll take out a chunk of America like you've never seen. Let's hope not. Point being this, that visually, that's a long explanation of what I'm saying. Point being this, when I said, oh, here goes Kevin, and I feel like inside of me, one time that I've got this water just building up, heating up, just ready to blow like Yellowstone. Another quick irrelevant story, but testimony to God's magnificence or something. So my wife and I, again, when we were young, we'd go out. We explored bad. I've always been a major explorer-type personality. Never really had appropriate levels of fear or concern. My curiosity and tenacity outweighed any fear I had. This is the early or mid-80s. Things were different, you know? It depends on your age. I mean, there weren't ropes and chains and fences and signs everywhere and cameras and... So we had this old beater, 1983 Subaru wagon with like 80-some horsepower, just a junker. I used to get stuck on hills going 30 and trucks bang, honking at me. So anyway, we're down in Yellowstone Park. We're driving around back roads that we apparently shouldn't have been on, but you'd never know. There might have been a sign, hey, don't go here. And we're like, hey, thanks. And we end up in this area, and I'm like, check this out, man. There's this huge field. Like Mars, like Earth, like white crusty Earth surface, and we're walking around it, and then all of a sudden, as we get out on it, and it's a ways, it's like a huge lake almost, and we get out on it, and I start to see like dead animals, like literally like buffalo skulls and skeletons and elk and other things. I'm like, oh, that's creepy. I told my wife, that's scary. She stayed a ways behind me. And you'd start to see these holes cracked in it, and there'd be hot water. So I keep walking. All of a sudden, I get to this edge where you can't go further, and it's boiling hot water. And I'm like, oh, cool, a hot pot. I look down below me. I'm standing on a piece of crust a couple feet deep at best, maybe more, but like ice, but crust. And below me, in this bluish-green water, I'm looking at the top of a mountain range, and I'm not exaggerating. I brought my wife up. We looked at it. It was so eerie, we freaked out and ran. As we drove out of there a bit later, and we went all the way back around where we were, the other side on the road had this massive, huge sign, don't go here, you risk death. It's this, it's that. Unbelievable. So there you go. Now that is a tangent. So all that came from, I feel like a hot pot right now with everything that Biden's doing. Folks, here's the deal. Joseph Biden, I said Rapunzel, I meant Rip Van Winkle. If you look it up, you'll understand. So Rip Van Winkle is eviscerating our Democratic Republic with executive orders. He's devastating. He's already signed at least 41 that I know of. He's a robot doing this terrible, these terrible communistic deeds to this nation. He keeps signing sweeping declarations, declaration after declaration. He's acting like a monarchy. He's acting like a king. This is what the left thinks. This is why they stole these seats. Folks, they got all three branches bar the door. This is dangerous stuff. This is the problem with this executive order abuse. These are not executive orders to help certain groups of people. These are to issue massive, massive policy changes with long-lasting, radiating effects on you, me, our society. These are massive implementations, okay? He's acting like a monarchy. He doesn't know what he's doing with his silly mask on. He's writing these things without any laws or concern as to the effect on you and me. As Americans, folks, you know, Trump, everything he wrote was in the law. Okay, he was just amplifying or manifesting attributes and aspects of laws. Biden is technically, this whole corona thing, that's what it is. It's the implementation of non-democratically voted upon laws. We have no representation. And folks, spin it whatever way you want. It's going to bankrupt the country, which is what these crazy socialist Democrats want to do. It's going to bankrupt you. We're going to get jackhammered with all these taxes. You know, you ever heard a term taxation without representation? I have this funny feeling I've heard that too. I think our founders might have said it. What does it mean? It means that that if it's your government, you run it, you own it, but you're part of a huge group. You need to have a say in what money goes where and how it's spent and how you're charged for it. The no taxation without representation thing was the something to do with the Stamp Act. I think I'm not real up to date on it. And they basically did a tax holiday. It was some kind of sales tax for the colonies, a way to pound them even worse. It didn't go over. They had nothing to say. They felt out of power. They were feeling free, and they knew it was wrong. Because a king or a monarch was issuing these decrees from a seat. What was different, they were ready to go. They were ready to fight and ready to defend this. We've done nothing since the Civil War, which is a radical, radical war. You know, the blacks, we had this 1619 Act, okay? What is that? Well, how about the fact that Trump brought in the 1776 Act? So what is the 1619 Act? I'm sorry, 1619 Project, I think it's called. It's this long-term, you know, journalistic project from some New York Times guy, Nicole Hannah-Jones. And its purpose, it says, it aims to reframe the country's history. Stop right there. What? Yes, it's reframing our country's history. Isn't this the red, white, and blue America that won, you know, the Revolutionary War, among others, and we believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? No, wait a minute. Let's see. Maybe we don't. It aims to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of our history. How about that? That make good sense to you? I'd be saying probably not. What it's doing is it's rewriting history, and it's trying to focus on a short-term negative. I shouldn't say short-term. A singular negative. Look, things happen, okay? It wasn't America that started slavery. Folks, it is an absolute lie if you think that people at that time knew slavery was wrong. The other thing I have to impose repeatedly, it is known and documented. There were families that worked and worked and worked and worked, and they got slaves, and they worked them, and they got more slaves and bought more and more and more and more and more just to buy and save them, just to protect them. They'd already been captured by the Muslims. Slaves were captured by other blacks, black Muslims. The slaves were infidels. The Muslims captured them because they were infidels. They were scum. Check it out. I'm right. 92% or something. 92.8% of them. It was another wonderful act of Islam, but they quietly go under the curtain. No one knows. And yes, there was slavery. And I'll be honest, right now, if slavery was legal, God's been good to me, right? I believe I've been blessed. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I've been blessed. If slavery was legal, I would buy as many as I could for the exact purpose that Thomas Jefferson did, to preserve and protect their well-being. There's only one glitch to that. Buying more creates a market, but they're already on the ship. It's tough. A small guy doesn't buy them, no big deal. These huge corporations were, and they abused them and misused them. The other thing I'd do if slavery was enacted is you could build a coalition of men. But you know what, folks? Look at us now. Social media will not allow us to organize or communicate. They're controlling what we say. It is terrifying, folks. This is not a temporary problem. You know, I don't have a ton of time. You got, like I said, Revelations 14 says the hour of his judgment's come. Possibility. You know, many people that study it are like, hey, 9/11 and Revelations 18 look awfully exactly alike. Revelations 14 says the hour of his wrath has come. Hour. Peter said 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. So 1,000 years is a day. What's an hour? It's 1,000 divided by 24. Just over around 40 years. The hour of his wrath has come. 40 years. The very next thing it talks about is the destruction of Mystery Babylon without even breaking pace on that verse. Next thing it talks about after that is the mark of the beast imposed by some kind of a virus or something like that. Possibly, who knows, 9/11 was the beginning of the hour of his wrath, 40-some years. I got to cover that sometime because it's a lot more in-depth than that, and it's a lot more mind-boggling and true. So let me go down some stuff here. We've got Biden passing these executive orders on climate, gender, race, wealth, of course, taxes. They said this would be the most progressive government ever. It is not the most progressive. It is the most fascistic government in our history, hands down, bar none. What's the difference between what Biden's doing and Mussolini? I mean, he's sitting there just striking out these radical laws to completely transform and destroy America using executive order. All of this K-rap, my friends, comes from, I'm going to say, Obama, okay? Clinton started with his immoral, crazy behavior. I was going to say crap again. Sorry. Junk. Trash. Garbage. Okay? And then he fought it and somehow got away with it. And we got to see what real politics was about. So did the politicians. The Clintons sharpened the knife. Obama came in slick and smooth and looking good. Talking sweet. The guy's a monster in a good way. That's a weird term, but no, he is too in the other way. But the thing is he spoke so eloquently. He made so much sense. He lied so well. And he opened the door for Biden. Biden is a terror among the wheat, for sure. He's been implanted. And when his time comes, which is now, he becomes God's puppet. Those people around him are evil. There's demonic activity. It's crazy, folks. It's intense. It really is. It's dark. You just see this, you know, this wrath. I mean, if I had time, I'd cover, you know, let me see if I do here. I don't have it. But, well, here, watch this, okay? I know people don't believe the Bible that end up tripping over the show. I'm sorry for you here, buddy. So it's, I think I just blew that. Gosh, darn it. Well, here we go. All right. Galatians 5, I think. Okay. You have been severed. Fruits of the Spirit. Okay. Okay, here we go. So we talk about walking by the Spirit, right? I just talked about evil and demonic behavior. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. So this is what we're seeing. Is this what we're seeing? Which side of the parties are you seeing this on? Immorality, impurity, sensuality. Okay, and then we get into idolatry, sorcery, enmities. In other words, just, you know, scrambling disagreements and strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. They get into drunkenness, carousing, and things like that at the end. But, I mean, that's a spirit of just division and divisiveness. And then it goes into, but the good, you know, it's like, but the good side is the fruit of the Spirit, and we do that. So that's what we're seeing a lot of right now, folks. I think you'd agree. We've got all this stuff going on. It's crazy. He's pounding through law after law after law. Okay? Passed over 40 of them. He's eliminating jobs by the tens of thousands, which is a total Marxist cabal. There's no three branches of government, etc. They've wiped it all out, okay? So what do you do? Me, I say financially, prepare. Man, lock yourself down. Don't take a chance. Just get a portfolio built. I know it's rough and all that right now times, and maybe some of you made some money. Lock that down. Don't take that stock market garbage and let it ride down to nothing. When it drops, folks, I've been around. It is ugly. We've got hyperinflation at a rate you can't even describe. We're at $1 million in debt for every man, woman, and child. That doesn't even faze anybody. You're done. $1 million in debt for every man, woman, and child. How's that working out for you? You're done. We're done. I know a guy with a family. He's got 9 kids. That's 11, counting him and his wife. That's $11 million he owes. We need to send him a bill. People are getting into the Jassara thing with the corporate law versus constitutional law. It's totally legit. The problem that you're missing is the powers that be. Who is in charge of the military, etc.? That's a big conversation I should touch on one of these days. But I'm telling you, folks, be wise as fast as possible. Capitalism is not racism. Okay? I mean, think about it. It's that simple. Capitalism is the purest form of government because you can go, it doesn't care. Capitalism doesn't care what color you are. So they're basically milking this whole capital, you know, I jumped over to the Capitol riots. Those were a total lie, pre-planned. People were there before Trump spoke. The impeachment's a farce. All of it is a coup that is intending to take over our government. So please, you know, if you can, you call your congressmen and senators, congresspeople especially, my Lord. None of them have the guts to say quit. And they think, here's what they think. Oh, the people must approve us. We won all three branches. But you know what? They know they didn't. You hear how quiet they are? They're not. They're just, it's more like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this power? We're going to do so many dirty little things. Who's going to be in charge? Watch them just chew each other up. CNN, I pray. I pray, Lord, destroy. The fourth commandment or whatever it is, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means that people say the Constitution or the commandments say don't lie. Not exactly. There's examples of people lying that God blessed, like Rahab in the Bible, to protect his people. So it's not lying. It's bearing false witness. Over and over, the Bible says, don't take a bribe against the innocent. It doesn't say not take a bribe. It says, be really careful. It says, you can't bear false witness. You don't hurt an innocent person. You don't lie. This is what we've got going on right now, folks. Give us a call, 444-0044. Let us lock your metals down now. Take care. God bless. Have a fantastic week and evening. Bye-bye.